Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A woman wanted in connection with a Fairbanks murder and other crimes is in police custody. Fairbanks Police Deputy Chief Dan Wellborn says Lindsay Preshaw has been detained for the Tuesday killing of John Preshaw, who also went by Jack.
We consider her to be the primary suspect in the death of Jack Preshaw.
Wellborn says Jack and Lindsay Preshaw were half-siblings and also a couple. Jack Preshaw was found dead at a South Cushman Street residence early Tuesday. Lindsay Preshaw was taken into custody Wednesday evening by Alaska State Troopers on charges unrelated to the Jack Preshaw murder. Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says Lindsay Preshaw was picked up along the Parks Highway outside Nenana for stabbing a woman in Esther and stealing her vehicle.
The victim was identified as Lisa Bear, 66, of Fairbanks. She was transported to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital and underwent surgery for life-threatening injuries. Investigation led us to a woman by the name of Lindsay Preshaw, 35, of Fairbanks. She was contacted and arrested at milepost 309 of the Parks Highway. And we have charged her in this case with one count of attempted murder in the first degree, assault in the first degree, and also vehicle theft in the first degree.
Meanwhile, investigators are also looking at Lindsay Preshaw's possible involvement in another stabbing. About 18 hours before Jack Preshaw's bloody body was discovered, police received a report of a fight between two women and a possible stabbing at the nearby Alaska Motel. 57-year-old Jeanette Miller was found there, stabbed, and later died at the hospital. Wellborn says the cases could be related.
We're still currently investigating that one as well, and so we're not ruling out the fact that there could be a link there, but as of right now, we're currently investigating each of them individually.
Fairbanks Police and Alaska State Troopers are both investigating Lindsay Preshaw relative to crimes committed inside and outside city limits. Fairbanks Police expect charges to be filed soon. The state body that regulates commercial marijuana is looking into standardizing testing of the drug's potency. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
Earlier this month, during a Marijuana Control Board meeting, Erica McConnell, the director of Alaska's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, announced it was time to examine how businesses are testing legally grown pot.
Testing is the foundation of the regulated industry, and it is what allows consumers to have confidence that they're getting safe and uncontaminated product at a potency level that they're comfortable with.
Potency level refers to how much THC is in a cannabis strain or product, and generally more potent products command a higher price, which can create a profit incentive for growers who may want to get higher potency results from the testing labs they send samples to. And some allege it also gives those labs an incentive to return more favorable results. In a report by KTVA News, one business owner documented discrepancies between the same cannabis strains evaluated at Anchorage's two licensed testing facilities. As the relatively new industry continues taking shape, McConnell says that's a problem that needs to be fixed.
We're looking to our processes to make sure that they are as standard and consistent as possible.
To do that, the Marijuana Control Board is convening a working group made up of stakeholders from public health, the sciences, and businesses in different sectors of the cannabis industry. The goal is that by next summer, there'll be more consistent protocols for how to test cannabis. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
The budget bill moving through the U.S. Senate is controversial primarily for its tax cuts to corporations and the wealthy, but it would also open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska to oil drilling. Alaska senators insist it can be done safely, and environmental groups continue to oppose it, but the issue isn't commanding as much attention as it used to. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Democratic Senator Tom Udall rallied a crowd of activists, some dressed as caribou and polar bear.
No Arctic rider. Okay, I like that enthusiasm.
Ethan Manuel would like more. As public lands director of the Sierra Club, he's fought a number of bills that included Arctic refuge development.
One of the big differences in 2005, the Arctic was the central issue around the budget, and now that's not the case. And so it's been harder to break. It has been tougher to break through, whether it's been on my street or in the national discussion.
He says the same people who typically mobilize on this issue are already busy resisting the current administration on multiple fronts. So, in the shadow of other controversies, Arctic drilling advances. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
About 60 people showed up last night to tell the Interior Gas Utility Board of Directors what they think about the IGU's proposed $331 million deal to launch and operate a public natural gas utility. Those who spoke expressed a range of opinions that give board members a lot to think about as they prepare for a critical vote on the deal Tuesday. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
It's been nearly 4 years since the state authorized the IGU to build a system to bring natural gas to Fairbanks. And on Tuesday, IGU board members will consider taking a huge step toward that goal when they vote on a $331 million deal to buy and build the facilities needed to bring natural gas here, then store it and distribute it to homes and businesses throughout the area. Board Chair Mike Meeks says utility officials have held two public outreach meetings over the past 10 days and other recent sessions to help explain the complex deal.
Hitting North Pole, hitting Fairbanks, and providing public with the information. And we've had about 5.5 hours of question and answers and information going to the public.
Meeks says Thursday's work session was dedicated to giving the people their turn to talk.
Tonight, we listen to the public.
The public included local clean air advocate Jimmy Fox, who sat in on both of the most recent meetings.
I came into those meetings skeptical. And I have to say, after many, many hours of following up with what I heard, having further conversations, I'm feeling much, much more confident about the proposal that's before you.
The proposal calls for using the $331 million package of grants, low-interest loans, and bonding authority offered by the state to create what IGU officials called a unified utility owned by the borough. $59.5 million would go to the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to buy Fairbanks Natural Gas and the Titan LNG plant in South Central, along with a fleet of trucks to bring it to Fairbanks. The rest of the package would pay for building another storage facility in the Fairbanks area and build out of the local distribution system. The deal also includes a 3-year natural gas supply contract with Hillcorp Energy. But Sarah Obed says the IGU's estimates on the number of people who will convert their home heating systems to natural gas are too optimistic because the utility won't be able to keep the price of gas low enough to compete with fuel oil or wood. And that, in turn, won't convince people to spend thousands to convert to gas heat.
Who's going to spend $10,000 to convert and then pay more for gas after that they've already converted?
Obed is vice president for external affairs for Doyon, and she says buying FNG and Titan's assets would be a costly mistake. She says the IGU should instead invest in a local gas supply that comes in a pipe instead of a tanker, like what Doyon is trying to develop with its exploratory drilling in the Nenana Basin.
They basically will be investing in all this LNG infrastructure, which you wouldn't need if you pipe gas to Fairbanks.
Others, like Clark Milne, urged the board to approve the deal because it's an essential part of the borough's plan to improve air quality by reducing the use of heating systems that burn wood or coal.
Natural gas can make a lot less PM2.5. Therefore, we can get people to convert instead of burning wood. And that can make all the difference.
Liz Gregg told the board that if the IGU succeeds in convincing many or most Fairbanks area property owners to convert to natural gas, it will increase the cost of housing for those who rent. She says that'll make it even more difficult for people who live at or below the poverty level.
Property owners are going to have to pass along these costs to the renters.
Members of the public will get one more chance to comment on the proposal next Tuesday, just before the board votes. That meeting also will be held in the assembly chambers, beginning at 6 p.m. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.